The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
People, particularly in a retail environment, seem to have their cranium so far up their keister sometimes. Okay, I'll just save it for 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just save it.
The cranium so far up their keisters. That is a new way. I've never heard that one before.
Well, I mean, people just don't pay any attention. I don't know what it is, but
people are stupid.
I had to go out and do some stuff on Sunday. Had to do some shopping, get some things ready. Had to get some things ready for our Christmas party at work. And had to go to three or four different stores. And it's like everyone turns into a moron this time of the year. They don't know how to walk up and down an aisle. They don't know how to park a car. They don't know how to get in and out of a parking lot. Because it's just a matter of there's more people out there and you got to pay more attention and people aren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah. No,
you got to be more aware.
And I mean, it's not even just with shopping, because if they're shopping, even if you go to a restaurant, people who have been shopping are going to go eat. So the restaurants are even going to be more crowded on those days too. Well, so, I mean, it's a universal thing when it comes to Christmas shopping, especially.
So you're left, just like last night, he's trying to back out of a parking lot. Well, this guy had pulled up in a parking, wasn't in a parking spot. He just parked his vehicle, and he was sitting and waiting on someone. Instead of getting a actual parking spot, he was just parking in a space at the end of the aisle. Well, the problem was it was such a tight area that he shut the whole parking lot down. No one could back out. Everybody, it was going to cause some wrecks. It was going to cause a wreck, you know. And he had no clue. So the only way to handle it is to yell at him, right? That's the only way you can.
It only seems fair.
It only seems right, you know, that he gets a good scolding. Yeah. So,
that's a perfect setup for our beef.
Felt bad for him. That old lady really got after
I can only imagine. So, again, if you have your beefs, which I'm sure a lot of people have some of the similar beefs that we'll be having one around the Christmas holiday, but you can also tweet at us, too, if you don't want to call in and hit that line AR. We're also streaming live again this morning. I want everyone to see my great Christmas sweater. Did you see the Christmas sweater I got yesterday, Tommy? I posted a picture of it on Twitter. I don't know if you...
The one you bought?
The one
you had on yesterday.
No, the one that I've received, I got shipped to me yesterday.
No, I did not see that.
Oh, okay. Well,
what you have on today?
I do. It's a Bobby Petrino holiday sweater, Christmas sweater. And it's got him with his neck brace on. And it says Wild Hogs at the very bottom of it. Because, you know, Harley Davidson, Wild Hogs, you know, get it?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so, but...
I've got the video stream up. I'll be back in the studio tomorrow, but to see this, I mean, I got to look myself, and I can't really see from the video stream. Just looks like you got a red sweatshirt on, buddy.
Well, I know. How about this? I will stand up a little bit for
you. All right.
There you go.
Perfect. I'll see it in about 40 seconds.
Yeah, you're about to say you'll see it in a little bit of a delay, but there's my Christmas sweater that you can check out. But either way, yeah, we have to...
I actually, because Ty Richardson's putting, you know, this old man pressure on me, I went and looked for a Christmas sweater. At least, okay, I was in one place doing something else, and they had some Christmas sweaters. And, there you... Okay, now I see your sweater. See, this is great radio, 47. Yeah, perfect. I was searching for this in this place. This thing was normally like $35, but it was on sale for like $33. It was $1 off. I'm like, wow.
Heck of a deal.
I hope I can beat the rush.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, good. We got to get you in the Christmas spirit somehow.
I was looking for one of these awful, ugly Christmas sweaters maybe to wear tomorrow, since we're having the Morning Rush Christmas party tomorrow.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is because I'm curious to see what other people's Christmas office parties are like. Because you have this, and I know that Ty's kind of joked about it, and I know we do too, but...
Well, I think he's only half joking.
Yeah, well, okay, he's half joking, we'll say that, but...
He thinks there should be swinging from chandeliers at a Christmas luncheon.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying, is that, like, you have this idea that that's how Christmas parties are getting, and it's always held at the office. It's not like an office Christmas party at someone's house. For some reason, Christmas parties that get out of hand are held at the office. And I'm curious, if there's anybody listening this morning... Whose office party, or his office Christmas party is like that, I want to know how.
Yeah.
I want to know why it is that way. Because where did this stereotype of a Christmas party come from? Was it just a thing that back in the day you got out of hand at your office Christmas party where, you know, your people were putting their bare butt on a copier and making copies? I mean, where did all this come from? Because this is some type of, like, stereotype, and some they make movies off of this, and it's just become this, like, oh, you're having an office Christmas party. Oh, man, it's going to get wild. Why? Where did it come from? Because I'll tell you what, Tommy, I haven't worked in a lot of offices. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But I haven't really been to a Christmas party that's gotten out of hand. And trust me, I've worked for some places that probably it could have gotten out of hand, but it really didn't. So I don't know. I don't know where this – but if you're listening and you have an office Christmas party that gets out of hand, first off, invite me. And second off, tell me what it's like.
You know, we're having ours at 11:45 a.m. So if it gets out of hand at lunch, you know.
Man, I'm telling you. Well, yeah. I mean, not only at lunchtime, but lunchtime during a weekday.
We're just trying to beat the crowd.
Yeah, it's a weekday.
Yeah, we're just trying to beat the crowd. So,
trying to get the happy hour
special.
Some
good meat left on the buffet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to be all about. But, you know, it should be interesting, though, because office Christmas parties are always fun because there's sometimes gifts involved. And I think that, again, I this is going to be me and Ty's first, I guess what do we call ourselves? A Pearson Broadcasting Christmas party?
We'll
do
it. Our first soiree.
Yeah, we're going to have this is going to be our first time partying it up. And
a lot of expectations, Tommy.
Oh, see, you keep saying that, and nothing's going to change. It's just going to be hanging out, and Tommy's going to sit there and tell everybody how awesome we are. And then we're going to say, but he's also going to say, but you better get your butt going next year because.
You better be more awesome next year.
That's right, exactly.
You got it all figured out. See, it's like you've already been there.
I know. You know, you probably do the compliment sandwich where you say, here's what you guys are doing really well. Here's what you need to work on. And then you end with a compliment. I mean, I'm sure that's exactly what you do. You've been in this business long enough. You know what it's like. You know how it goes. So
you did great, but you could do better.
Exactly. Exactly. You can always do better. Even if you broke every record, and when it comes to sales, when it comes to ratings, when it comes to numbers, even if you did all of that, you can always do better. So it gives people motivation to keep that going. That's for sure.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Brought up earlier in the show about this Myron Cunningham, offensive tackle. It's a JUCO. He had committed to Arkansas. Had some scholarship offers to places like Texas and Oklahoma. A really big get, and we understand the situation that Arkansas is in the offensive line. But, you know, when I saw this, and obviously it's a great thing for Arkansas, but it makes you really think, or at least it made me think, about what the offensive line is going to look like in 2019. Because we kind of have an idea, besides the quarterback situation, which we alluded to a lot yesterday, but the offensive line for 2019 is a dire one. It's one that you're really nervous and scared about, at least you should be, because it doesn't look very great considering who you lost this past year with Johnny Gibson, Brian Wallace, and Yelda Froholt, and who you're really adding next year, which now you see Myron Cunningham, but you're not adding a whole lot of great pieces either, guys that may not be able to start right away. And so it's a pretty tough situation that Arkansas finds itself in. We know that one quarterback, for instance, if Kelly Bryant could have came in, one quarterback could really fix the situation. But can the offensive line and the problems that they have right now, can it be fixed? Can it have that quick of a turnaround? Can it go from being as poor as it was this past year to being serviceable all in one year with nothing but brand new faces? Is that possible at all?
You would take it would take getting the perfect pieces, not the right pieces, the perfect pieces to the puzzle that are available as JUCO players, and all of those guys figuring out how to mesh and play together quickly in spring practice and then build on that in the fall. I mean, it just seems like it would be – I mean, you'd have to perfectly recruit that spot through the transfer routes.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to do a lot
couldn't
of different
miss a
things.
Beat.
Yeah, you couldn't – because here's the thing. That's not saying that the guys that they have losing from the offensive line were amazing players. I think that Yelda Froholt was by far the best one of them. And there were times where even Gibson and Wallace, you look down on them and you saw some of the plays that they were getting worked on. He was like, oof. You know, it's not something you want to see from senior offensive linemen. But you just hope that because, listen, this offense is what's going to come down to next season as far as trying to get scores, trying to get touchdowns, trying to get to where they need to go fast and up-tempo the way that Chad Morris originally wanted them to. Because this past season, and Tommy, I don't know if you feel the same way, I had no idea what this team was trying to do offensively at times. I didn't know what they were trying to go fast or not trying to go fast. Were they trying to establish tempo or were they not trying to establish tempo? Were they more of a running team or a passing team? I mean, it just seemed like the identity of this offense was so lost to where I couldn't really figure out what they were doing or what they were trying to do. And a lot of it was chalked up to the fact that they didn't have a lot of talent. The offensive line, because if you don't have an offensive line, it's hard to have an identity because it blows up the play every single time you're trying to make something work. I just didn't really know exactly what the identity of this team was trying to be this past season. And I'm just wondering that if you mix it in with some new players next year, if you have a different person at quarterback next season, whether it's KJ Jefferson or Connor Nolan, or even if they get some other grad transfer route, which we know we talked about yesterday, will we start to see actually more of the identity of what this offense is trying to do next year? Because I'm telling you right now, this past season, I had no idea what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think they're still trying to. The question is how close to the real playbook that Chad Morris wants to run do you think we saw this year?
We kept saying
it
was
a third of it.
Yeah, because he kept saying the 30% install and all that, but
right.
I don't know if that's, you know, what all that inclines.
And the reasoning for that was because they don't have the players to pull off everything, and some of that starts with quarterback. But I still contend you get Kyler Murray to come play for you next year, and until you fix a lot of those offensive line issues, that's only going to give you a marginal increase. And you know that's what's critical about finding some of these guys like you're going after here with Cunningham. So
yeah, I mean that because I feel like with Chad Morrison, the style that he at least promised to bring in, the full tilt boogie, hammer down, left lane, all that stuff, it's hard to do unless you have the right pieces in place. And I think we all understand that. But even when there's been transitions, for instance, when Brett Bielema came in to try to change the offensive identity, I think that there were a lot of things done in his first year, even though they weren't that good. There was a lot of things done to where you could kind of see what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And same thing with Bobby Petrino. When he came in and it was changing it all from the Houston Nutt offense, when he came in, you're like, okay, we see what he's trying to do. But when Chad Morris comes in, yeah, he didn't have near the talent that Brett Bielema or Bobby Petrino had when they came in, that's for sure. But when he came in, you don't really know what it's supposed to look like or what he's trying to do. And you're just trying to and I'm thinking to myself, okay, is it more just because they do not have the pieces? Is it that complicated of an offense? Is it that complicated of something that you can execute? Or is it just them trying to do with what they can do with the players that they have in place, trying to make it work the best they can, but it's just not working because they don't have enough talent to make it work?
Some of both. I thought Bielema, his first year, was a little stubborn. Could have done a few things maybe differently, but he said, no, we're pressing forward. Stubbornly, we're going to install our offense and do what we do, even though we don't have the players for it. And I think there's been a little less, I don't know if stubbornness, but a little less stubbornness is taking place for this past season with that. They were willing to adapt. We talked about that word adapt seemingly all summer long because that was a word that Coach Morris was using. I think he tried to find ways to make it work, but I just don't think they could ever find the right combination to maximize the potential of this offense, no matter whatever that maximization was, whatever that high point that this offense could have been this year. They never quite figured that out. Didn't appear to any of us.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look back, what was the best offensive performance that Arkansas had?
Was it
Alabama?
I guess what I'm saying there, John, is if they'd have stayed with some like Bielema tendencies in that offense, more pro style, would they have been any good at that? I'm not sure if Bielema would have returned and they'd have run the same offense, it'd have been a whole lot more productive because this group of players didn't seem to fit any system this year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that when you look back on the best offensive performances that Arkansas had this year, what kind of offense was done? What kind of execution was done? Was it more – because I feel like, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like that one of the things – let's go back to Brett Bielema. What were some of the things that Arkansas fans were just wanting Brett Bielema to do for so long? It seemed like that people were always wanting him to do screenplays, and there was not enough of those. It seems like people were wanting him to give the ball to T.J. Hammonds. He didn't do it. It almost seemed like if the fans saw strength – And they were the ones calling out and saying, dude, why don't you do this? He almost purposely didn't do it.
Well, but what was the reasoning they couldn't run a traditional screen? Why couldn't they? Why was Bielema's offense unable to do that effectively?
Because they were too slow?
The offensive linemen didn't have the mobility to get downfield and, you know, execute the play.
Mm-hmm.
This offensive line trimmed down different body types from what they, you know, they'd worked on, was able to execute that a little better.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't tell. I don't have any reasoning on the Hammonds deal. Can't help you there.
Yeah. Those were the types of things that you never figured out. And then this past season with Chad Morris, you know, TJ Hammonds, I know he was battling injury. Didn't really see much of him. But, you know, it just makes you wonder, okay, did he really, Chad Morris, did he really utilize the strengths of what this team had? Did we see an offensive set that was adjusted and adapted for the strengths of these individuals on this team? Or, like you said, was there too much? Because I agree that there wasn't enough stubbornness, I almost felt like. It felt like, you know, you weren't doing enough of what Chad Morris was wanting to do. And it was more of like, okay, we can't bring him up all the way to this level, so let's scale it back. But when you scale it back, you lose some of the innovation and the success of the offense of what it could be. So it was just kind of like it was constantly battling with each other the whole time. And you never got the identity. You never were consistent. I mean, the fact that I get asked, I know you get asked too, Tommy, how in the world did this Arkansas offense score 31 points against Alabama? I still don't know. I have no clue. Because it's the same offense that didn't score a single touchdown in the final two games against Mississippi State and Missouri. I don't know how it happened.
How did Citadel have them tied at halftime? Alabama being.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, they ended up smoking them later.
I know.
But, yeah, things happen in college football, and I get
it. Because sometimes you take certain opponents more seriously than others. And that's the reality, that when you look at 31 points and you you find a way to say, well, you know, Arkansas scored more points than, you know, you start going down that. Well, that doesn't equate to really anything at this point, because look at the rest of your season. And, yeah, that's a nice little nugget. But do you think Alabama took Arkansas as seriously as they did any other conference school on their schedule this year? I'd say they probably didn't. So
yeah, but at the same time, though, even Alabama is talented enough to where even if they didn't take Arkansas seriously offensively, I mean, Arkansas is a 2-10 team. Even if you didn't take it, I think you got to give some credit to Arkansas, too, and the fact that they had a good game plan coming in.
Absolutely. I think what it tells me, more than anything, these coaches are capable of scheming up a game plan that can be effective.
Yes. You just need a consistent one.
Yeah.
You need it to be every game that you can do that.
But they need the players to be consistent.
Yeah, you know? Which I agree. But there were times also, too, where the offense just looked anemic compared to what it did in other games. And that's what was kind of the confusing thing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Arkansas didn't score a single touchdown in the final two games of the season. Where in other times they were, you know, scored 31 points against Alabama. They scored 20, or I guess it was 17 points against LSU. I mean, they were capable of scoring.
And that's on the coaches, too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like you got to find the balance of getting your system in place and getting the right players while also being able to have a good game plan in there and finding ways to get the ball in the end zone. Because you got to hammer down, full tilt boogie, all that stuff, but it's not going to be very effective if you're not able to score offensively.
Don't disagree.
Yeah, so that's for sure.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
And all that fun stuff that we do on the regular anyways, but since we have a dedicated segment for it, it makes it a lot more fun. So without further ado, let's get right into it.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm the man. I could eat ball bears and crap me.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is time for What's Your Beef Wednesday. And, you know, I normally am the one that kicks this one off, but I think I'm going to let Tommy do it because if his beef is what I think it's going to be, it'll be a nice one for me to piggyback off of. So, Tommy, okay. Since you're the elder of the Morning Rush, your birthday's close enough, I don't know, just whatever excuse I need, you go ahead and kick us off with
Respect
What's Your Beef.
Your elder. All right, let me give you two quick ones, and I think I know the one, so I'll go with the one you want last.
Okay, perfect.
So it'll work. This is no shot at anyone because individually it's just the whole process of what we're seeing. You're on Facebook. I'm on. Everybody's on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Anyone else growing tired of these little like year-end video recaps of your entire year, all these photos? And it's not the problem with yours or mine or anyone. It's that that's like the only thing on your timeline now. You can't get on there because, like, everybody's got – because Facebook decided everybody needed one of these things. It's not really a beef. It's just really annoying.
I'd say I put that up there, my little year in review, and so I assume that you're talking about mine. Did you hate my year in review, Tommy?
No, I just thought that it is interesting that when you go through your timeline, how many of those do you see now? And I don't have time to watch everybody's.
Yeah.
And then here's the deal. I don't know how they select the photos. So I did not post mine, but I get to the end of mine. I'm watching this 60-second clip, and they choose these photos, and I don't know how they randomly choose them. And, like, one of the main photos at the end is a picture of our man Andy Hodges.
How does that happen?
How does that happen, you know? So I'm like, well, you know.
Well, hey, your year in review, so. How could it not have
how
Andy Hodges?
How could it not have Andy Hodges, right?
Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
in the middle of it. So, anyway, so I don't know. It's just more annoying than a beef that goes on because you can't open Facebook without seeing this.
I can understand. But luckily, it's a short-lived one, at least.
So, also, people right now at the holidays, I don't know if it's the pressure of getting the gifts bought. I don't know if it's the pressure of the timelines. Kids are getting out of school. You got to get all your work done. We're less than 2 weeks from Christmas. It's the holiday parties. It's busy. I don't know what you people's problems are out there, but you got your head up your keister. You can't park. You can't walk. You don't know where to put a shopping cart. The list goes on and on of all the frustrations we're creating upon each other as a society right now. Get your shopping cart to the one side of the aisle or the other. The middle is no place for your cart. It's where my cart goes, all right? So get out of the way. In the parking lot, park in a spot like a normal human being. What is wrong with these people? People go into a parking lot, and it's like they forget how to drive, what to do, what the procedure is, because it's December. I don't know what's going on, but people have just lost their minds right now. I don't know if you did any shopping over the weekend, but I eventually just gave up. And it wasn't because of selection, pricing, or it's the people that make it just dadgum difficult, you know.
Hey.
I got behind a lady trying to return a television without a receipt and couldn't understand why she wasn't going to get all of her money back. And she was just raising Cain at the big box store with this young 19-year-old checker who's just following procedure. Just stop it.
Mm.
All of this stuff right now.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm right there with you, and you kind of even alluded to the thing that I have a problem with when it comes to, obviously, shopping and Christmas holidays, traffic, well, all the stuff going on with it that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I want to piggyback off of that and specifically talk about the attitude of people who are doing such things. I understand that nobody, at least anybody in their right mind, enjoys Christmas shopping on Saturdays in December. If you enjoy it, you have something wrong with you. But I get that nobody is out there just saying this is the most fun that they've ever had. I understand that you have places to be. I understand that it can be frustrating, just like we're talking about the frustrations on it. But that doesn't mean that you have to be the rudest of rude people at these places of business to where you scream and you yell and you get all up in people's faces for whatever reasons. I won't name the place I was at, but I saw as I was not Christmas shopping per se, but I was going in there just looking around, killing some time because apparently I love torturing myself. I went into this store. And I'm going into this aisle, and there is a worker there that is trying to help this woman find something that she's been looking for. And they get over there. It was the toy section because I was actually there shopping for my nephews. And I get there, and the guy tells her as he's looking around, you can see, he's like, ma'am, I don't see it. And she goes, well, look again.
Look harder.
Look harder. And, I mean, there's this guy, like you said, probably in his early 20s, early mid-20s, yeah. Looking around. He's like, ma'am, I don't, it's not here. And I don't know what they were looking for, but he's either said that it's either out of stock or it's not where it's supposed to be. But my assumption was, as he was trying to tell her, it's out of stock. They're done with it. And Tommy, you would have, I mean, you would have thought that he kicked her in the shins of how she reacted. She says, what do you mean it's not here? What do you mean you don't have it? I went on your website and it said it was available in store. Guess where I am at? I am in your store. And the fact that it is not available here means either your website is lying or you're lying. So which is it?
See what I mean?
I was
head up keister.
I was floored. I'm like, and the guy said, ma'am, I'm sorry. And like, she wasn't done there. She kept going on and just like, she's like, I'm never coming back here, which I'm sure this place of business is really really going to suffer because she wasn't coming back. But she just goes off on the guy. And I felt so bad for him. And she walked away. I even told the guy, I was like, man, I'm sorry about that. And he just goes, it's part of the job. It's almost like he just like assumed that was going to happen. It happens all the time. So my point is to all of you out there, you hate Christmas shopping, that's fine. You're out there to try to get that special gift for that special loved one, and that's the only gift you want, and there's a lot of pressure on you to get it. I've seen the movie Jingle All the Way. I know what it's all about. You got to get that toy for your kid or for your nephew or your grandkid or whatever. I get it. There's a lot of pressure. But just act like a human being. Act decent when it comes to the times where you hit that adversity, you're unable to overcome that obstacle. Just don't start yelling and being an absolute you-know-what, a D-bag to people for just because you don't have or they don't have what you want. Just be a common, decent, courteous human being. It's Christmas time. We joke on this show that we complain, and it seems like Christmas time brings out a lot of frustrations, which it does. It's obvious. But that doesn't mean you have to act certain ways. Because, Tommy, I know we're the same way, and I know Ty would be the same way, too, that if we went into a place that we needed a gift and they didn't have it, I don't think we'd act that way. You know why? Because I'd like to think we're pretty decent human beings. And those workers that are at this place and someone who worked in retail at a place called Best Buy for 3 years during holiday seasons, I can vouch for this. We're just there to do our jobs. We're not trying to hide anything from you.
So
we're not trying.
Well,
we're not trying to take anything. We're not trying to hide gifts. We're not telling you lies if we don't have the gift. We're not doing any of that. We're trying to help you. And same thing with those workers. So just treat them with a little respect. They're frustrated too. They're having to work long hours. They're having to deal with people like you all day long. So just be friendly, be nice. And if they don't have the gift, or if you get frustrated because it isn't going your way exactly, just say, all right, fine, and leave. If you're mad, don't say anything. Just leave. You can start cussing at your steering wheel once you get back in your car. All right? That's all I'm saying. That's my
pressure. It's the pressure of having the perfect Christmas. That's what everybody's trying to do.
Yes, and I get it. But, Tommy, I mean, was there a time where you had to get a gift, or is there something that your kids wanted that they're like, this is all I want? And was there a lot of stress and pressure for you to get them that gift? Have you ever had that?
Like every year.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's common. And I don't have any kids, thank goodness. But I'm sure it was the same way with my parents when I told them I wanted a certain gift. They went, you know, to the ends of the earth and beyond to try to find the gift and make sure I had the best Christmas. So everyone's under pressure. Everyone has these issues. But just treat people with respect. And also, don't get in Tommy Kraft's way when he's shopping. Don't put your shopping cart in the middle of the aisle.
People use engage common sense.
Yes. That's all we're asking, common sense, and put your freaking carts back in the cart return. Don't leave them in the parking lot. It's like, I've always been, we don't need to go down this route again, Tommy, but I'm telling you, it's like exponentially worse with people leaving carts when it comes to holiday.
I've got to park away from that. See, I try to park near the corral, that way I have no excuse. What? And honestly, it's a lot of fun to see how hard you can get a running start and just get that cart all the way up in there.
What's the length of away from the cart return that you'd say, you know what, I can't do it?
Probably not as far as you'd like it to be.
No, it's not. Because if you're in the parking lot, Tommy.
Probably about four spaces, you know.
Yeah, if you're four spaces slots. Away, it's like, let somebody else handle it.
I don't know.
I've worked hard today. I've been shopping all day. I don't have time to return a car.
And if it's raining, it might be more like two.
I'll just go ahead and leave it out here and let the wind blow it into somebody's car and dent it up, and then they have to pay for it with their own insurance. It's fine. Merry Christmas to all. Good grief. Yeah, I don't need to go into that. But anyways, that is What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.